One of the things my high school coach stressed to me before practice or a game was to go through a bunch of stretching exercises. He wanted to make sure that we didn't tear a muscle or a tendon or a ligament. And so we'd go through this regimen of stretching exercises before we would actually practice and go out on the court. He wanted us to get ready to exercise our bodies on the court. Well, when it comes to our faith in the Lord, I believe God creates a regimen for us that stretches us in preparation for exercising our faith. The Lord puts us in situations that stretch us and provide us with opportunities to exercise our faith and thereby become stronger in our faith in Jesus Christ. We see that here in the lives of Abraham and Sarah. In the passage before us today, we see God put Abraham and Sarah in positions that stretch them physically, emotionally, and spiritually in order to create opportunities for them to exercise their faith in the Lord. So as I was studying this passage, one word stood out to me that gives us insight into the thought process that made it possible for Abraham and Sarah to exercise such great faith. That word is promise. Look at verse 9 and 11 for a minute. It says this: By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents of Isaac with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now look down at verse 11. It says, By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, notice that both Abraham and Sarah lived out their faith in the Lord because of the promises of God. It was their trust in the promises of God that allowed them to exercise great faith. God made them promises, and they lived by those promises. Now, living on promises could be detrimental to you if the promises do not come from a reliable source. The corpse flower, there's a flower that's actually called the corpse flower. Native to the equatorial forest in Sumatra, it can grow up to 10 feet tall. Once open, the spiky, bright red bloom looks like rotten meat, a veritable welcome mat for the insects that pollinate it, flies and carrion beetles. According to Matthew Opel, University of Connecticut research assistant, the corpse flower looks like something has died. It smells like something has died. It has the same chemicals that dead bodies produce. The flower, which begins to disintegrate after 2 days, is nothing but a big practical joke to the flies and other carrion insects, says Opal. Unlike other plants that offer nectar, there's no real reward here. They think they're going to get a meal because it smells like something dead. Fortunately, God is not like the corpse flower. When he promises something, you actually will receive it. He will be faithful to give you what he promises. God, the source of the promises we have trusted in as Christians, is not like the corpse flower. He produces what he promises and is always faithful to make good on the promises he has made. We can exercise great faith as we trust the promises of God. That is the whole reason, folks, we are focused on the promised plan of God as we are studying through Hebrews and Isaiah. Because as we understand those promises, as we more see how God has been faithful to orchestrate and keep his promises to us, the more we are able to trust in those promises and live our lives by faith in the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what makes it all wonderful. Great faith is produced as we rely on the promises of God. So let's take a look at this passage and see how living on the promises of God can help us exercise our faith. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." First of all, living on the promises of God allows us to exercise our faith through obedience. Living on the promises of God allows us to exercise our faith through obedience. Even though Abraham did not know what kind of place God was calling him to, he obeyed God and left the land he was familiar with to go to an unknown place. Why? Why would someone do that? That's so unusual. Why would he do that? Why would he obey God and do that? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 for a minute. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is the passage where God calls him out and he makes some promises to Abraham. There were actually three promises made to Abraham as God called him to leave his country. Let's read this passage. It says, "Now the Lord has said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, and all in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So there were three promises made to Abraham as God called him to leave his country. First one was God would give him a land for his descendants to dwell. The second was God would make a great nation from his descendants. And then thirdly, God would use Abraham to be a blessing to all the world. Now, as we've studied Hebrews, we've seen how God has fulfilled all of those promises to Abraham. But it was Abraham's trust in these incredible promises of God that allowed him to act in obedience to God's command to leave his country, even though he knew nothing about the place where God would take him. Think about that for a minute. He believed that God would fulfill these promises to him, and he acted in obedience to God by faith in those promises. Now, God has made promises to us that should allow us to obey, even though we don't know where he is leading us. He has promised us eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Today is Palm Sunday, the day we celebrate the time when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and that last week of activity where it ends up with him sacrificing his life on the cross for our sins, shedding his blood so that we could have our sins forgiven, and then rising on the third day and showing himself the mighty Savior the wonderful Savior that we are trusting in for our eternal life. It's because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have a hope, a promise in God, a promise from God, that if we would trust in Him as our Savior, Jesus Christ, we would have eternal life. And because of that one promise, we ought to obey His commands. Because that promise is worth our obedience to God. It's worth us acting on faith in God, saying, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be because of the promise that you have fulfilled in your Son, Jesus Christ, giving me eternal life. That one promise is more than enough for us to obey God. Now, God puts us in situations where we are uncertain of what lies ahead in the path that He has us on. This is when we need to exercise trust in His ways. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, this is a familiar passage, but a wonderful one. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You see, God's going to put you in situations where it's beyond your understanding how it may work out, or it's beyond your understanding to see what lies ahead. But that's the time where you can exercise your faith. Where you can exercise your faith in Him because you know that the path that He has you on leads to eternal life. The path that He has you on will be the best path for your life because He loves you more than anyone. You see, that's what living on the promises of God is. And that's how we get our faith strengthened. When we say, okay, God, I don't understand what lies ahead. I don't know what you're doing in my life right now, but I'm going to continue to trust in you because of the promises that you have made to me, that you would direct my path, that you would lead me in ways of righteousness and peace. And so I'm going to trust in you, God. God puts us in these situations so that we will learn to have our faith in Him and trust in His promises. He is faithful. He will show His faithfulness, and our faith in Him will grow stronger when we trust in His ways. What are you facing that you're not certain where it will take you? What are you facing? Obey God through it. Just obey Him. Allow Him to work. He will fulfill His promise, and He will bless you. He promised to do that. Just trust in the Lord. Trust in His promises to you and obey Him by faith. Obey Him by faith. Now, look at verses 9 and 10 for a moment. Verses 9 and 10 say this in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Secondly, living on the promises of God allows us to exercise our faith through unusual circumstances. Through unusual circumstances. So Abraham obeyed the Lord and went to the land of Canaan, the place where God had promised to show him. Now, after a short time in Canaan, there came a great famine that forced Abraham out of Egypt. Now, I can only imagine the confusion in Abraham's mind as he's going down to Egypt because he's forced out of this land of Canaan because of the famine. I can only imagine what he was thinking. He's like, God, why did you bring me here? And now, only after a short time, I have to leave. I have to go down someplace else because of this famine. I don't understand what you're doing. You know, sometimes when God gives us a vision of what he has in store for us, he creates circumstances that require us to trust in him to fulfill the vision. God does this so we will keep our focus on him rather than the vision. Now, I can relate to this, and we can relate to this, because God gave us a vision, didn't he? God gave us a vision to see this church built for the glory of God. God gave us a vision to see this church built, and he helped us get to this point, hasn't he? He's helped us to have this church here. Well, I got to tell you, there were many times where it looked like the vision of a church being built here was not going to happen. Through town hall meetings, through permit battles, through all kinds of obstacles that we faced, through the financial obstacles we faced as well. There were many times where we were in circumstances that made it seem like, well, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have it. I don't know if we're going to see this church built, I would say in my mind. And there were many times like that. But you know why I believe God did all those things, allowed those things to happen? Because my focus, or our focus, became more focused on the vision than the God who gave the vision. And I believe God sometimes wants us to die to the vision so that we'll get our focus back on him. So we'll be focused on who we need to focus on, the Lord. And that's what we need to see here. That's what was happening in Abraham's life. And thereby, these circumstances also helped him strengthen his faith in the Lord. It strengthened his faith because he was able to see that, hey, through famine, through everything, no matter what, God will fulfill his promises. That's why later on, he was able to offer up his son, Isaac, because he knew God was going to fulfill his promises. He had seen his faith grow to the point where he was able to do that. And that's what he will do in our lives. So, it was not long after this, he comes back to Egypt. Now, when Abraham left Egypt to come back to Canaan, Abraham was probably thinking that he would be able to settle down in Canaan and build some permanent structures to live in. This would not be the case. Look at Genesis 15. Verses 13 through 16, it says, "Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they will serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.'" So, God reveals to Abraham that it would be 400 years before the land would become a possession of his descendants. Now, this meant that Abraham and his son and his grandson would live in the land of promise as strangers. They would live in the land of promise as strangers, living in temporary dwellings and moving about. These were very unusual circumstances. especially for someone who was as rich as Abraham. He was very wealthy, but the only land he purchased that he owned in Canaan was a burial plot he purchased from the sons of Heth to bury his wife Sarah. So why was Abraham able to live under such unusual circumstances? Why was he able to do this? How did he do it? Verse 10 tells us. Look at verse 10 again. It says, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." There's why. Abraham understood that the fulfillment of God's promises to him were much better than what he would possess on earth. Even back then, Abraham knew that. Abraham was okay with living in a tent because he had been promised an inheritance in the city of God. Think about that for a minute. Abraham understood that God's covenant with him involved far more than earthly promises. And he was willing to trust in God, because he was willing to trust in God to fulfill the loftier, eternal aspects of the promises, Abraham was able to exercise faith under unusual earthly circumstances. Think about that for a minute. Abraham said, "Look, it's okay that I have to live in a tent, even though I've got a lot of money. I could probably build a whole city if I wanted to. It's okay that my son and my grandson are going to have to do the same. It's okay. You want to know why? Because this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." That's what he was saying in his heart. He knew that the promises that God had made to him were far better than just earthly possessions. He knew that God was going to give him an inheritance in an eternal city. And we know that someday God's going to come back and he's going to create and build a new city, the New Jerusalem. And all those who are trusting in his son, Jesus Christ, will have a part in that new city. Now, I'm not much for city life. I got to tell you, I'm not a city slicker. I don't want to live in the city. But that city, I want to live in. Amen? I want to live in that city. And I'm looking forward to living in that city. Now, I'm hoping that there'll be country around the city that I can go out in and, you know, run around and stuff like that. But I definitely want a place in that city. Amen? So I'm looking forward to that. And that's exactly what we see in all those who came after Abraham and who are considered his descendants. Look at verses 13 through 16. It says, "These all died in faith, having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." You see that? That's the mindset all of us need to have. How can we deal with unusual circumstances here on earth? You know what? You may be dealing with unusual circumstances in your life. Your living arrangements may be unusual. It may be different. It may be something that's out of the ordinary. But I want you to understand something. God's given you a way to deal with that. He's given you a way to trust in him and have faith in him through all the unusual circumstances that you face in life. That is the promise of a better place. The promise of a city whose founder and maker is God. an eternal place, an eternal dwelling, where we will have a wonderful existence with Him. That's the better place. That's the home we're really looking forward to. And if we're looking forward to that, we can deal with what we have to deal with here on earth. And so I hope we'll understand that. This is what all those who came after Abraham and were trusting in the covenant that was made with Abraham did in their lives. That was their mindset. And if our mindsets are like that, we will increase in our faith even under unusual circumstances. And finally, in verses 11 and 12, living on the promises of God allows us to exercise our faith through God's strength given for His kingdom purposes. Living on the promises of God allow us to exercise our faith through God's strength given for His kingdom purposes. Now, it may have come as a surprise to the Hebrew readers to see the author use Sarah as an example of someone with great faith. When told that she would bear a child at the age of 90, she laughed at the prospect. She laughed at it. But even though her faith in the promise was small, God used it to do something miraculous by giving her a son at the age of 90 years old. That's pretty amazing. Now, this, even though her faith was small, God was able to do something great through her. This is consistent with what Jesus taught when he said in Matthew 17:20, look at that verse, it says, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, a very small seed, you will say to this mountain, move here, from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." You see, when we trust in the Lord, even though our faith in Him might not be super great, He can still take our faith and do great things. You don't have to have great faith for God to accomplish something great in your life. I want you to understand that. You don't have to have great faith for the Lord to accomplish something great in your life. You just have to do what Sarah did. You just have to do what Sarah did. Look at the last phrase of verse 11. It says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. You see, Sarah trusted that God could do anything. She trusted that God could do anything. As God proved to her He would do what He promised, her faith grew. When she became pregnant, she was like, whoa, this is really going to happen. And then I'm sure through the pregnancy, if she felt a little pain or, you know, tripped and fell, something like that, she was like, oh no, what's going to happen? Is this really going to happen? But God proved Himself faithful through all 9 months. And then she finally had that child. And she was able to say, you know what? My faith in the Lord has grown because I've seen Him be faithful. That's what God does with us. As God proved to her that He would do what He promised, He will prove to us that He would do what He promised. Because of her faith, God established His eternal kingdom through Isaac. Just think about that for a minute. She didn't have super big faith, but because of the faith that she did have, God began His eternal kingdom through her. That's amazing. That is awesome. And we can have an impact on God's kingdom. God will use us to impact His kingdom if we will just trust in Him. If we'll exercise our faith in Him. If we'll obey Him by faith. If we will continue to trust in His promises, even under unusual circumstances, God will use us for His kingdom. Just as He did Abraham. God can accomplish great things for His kingdom through us if we will trust in His promised Son, Jesus Christ. When we live on the promises of God, our faith will be exercised through obedience to His commands, through unusual circumstances, and God will accomplish great things for His kingdom through us.